This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. John Williams here on WGN with Scott Bauer, the CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Scott, I understand we are live streaming today, you and me. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct, John. I am down on the floor of the CBO, the Chicago Board Options Exchange, in the S&P 500 options pit. And I do a live stream from down here and trade as well. But a lot of people out there don't realize that there really still is live action trading with real people, not just trading on screens in the electronic market.
And what's that like? Just describe for me the scene or how that happens.
So right now I'm in a trading pit with about 150 traders, all trading S&P 500 options. And at times there's a lull. If there's, it doesn't happen to be an order per se, you might hear some of the background noise right now. And if it gets really loud, which can happen at any second, that means that a broker has brought an order into the trading pit. And the traders, who are known as the market makers, are all going to be competing to get on that trade. The reason that open outcry, which is what it's called, is still so essential, again, even though most people think there isn't any, and everybody just trades electronically, is because of price discovery. So what do I mean by that? If a big brokerage house or a institutional firm has a big order that they want to transact, they want to get the best price. Well, if you go to the electronic market, you're really selling bids, you're buying offers. If you bring it down to a live trading pit on the exchange here, there you go, you may have heard some of that in the background, it's basically an auction market. It's a negotiated market. So you're going to get price discovery, you're going to get the best prices, and this is the most efficient market in the world, place. In the world, it really is.
Are they trading an index fund there, the S&P?
Yes, they're trading in the pit I'm in right now. They're trading options on the S&P 500 index.
Okay, but then why would one guy offer you more money than another guy for something that is the same?
So it all depends, because the market makers, the traders here, they're taking a position and they're hedging it off against other things. They may be hedging it off against NASDAQ futures. They may be hedging it off against a currency somewhere. So even though everyone in the world uses a very similar pricing model for options across the board, people have different things that they want to accomplish. And so what one may see value at, let's say a dollar, someone else may see value at it as $1.02 or 98 cents. That's what makes the market so efficient. That's what ensures that customers get the absolute best price out there.
And I think we've all imagined or can imagine that scene where one guy's selling something and everybody else is buying, or vice versa, and selling and buying. But I mean, I've often wondered, how do you know whose offer is the best in the chaos? Is it possible you'll say, okay, I'm going to sell to Joe, but meanwhile, Bob goes, I was $1.04. Hello. Does that ever happen?
So that would be called what's known as an out trade, and it doesn't happen very often. You would think that this would be such an archaic system, but it's not. The traders, after being down here, for umpteen years, they become accustomed to people's voices. They use hand signals, and every trade is acknowledged. And there are, unbelievably so, very, very few out trades. Yes, they do happen. They're always resolved, but it is unbelievable how much accuracy there is with the trades matching up on the buy and the sell side.
So you said this is an index fund of the S&P 500. Are there other things being bought and sold there?
Yes. Yes. So down live on the floor here of the CBO, there's also the VIX options pit. VIX stands for Volatility Index. We've talked about that actually a few times. The VIX is kind of known, in the marketplace as the fear index. Mm-hmm. It really measures a gauge of volatility. So that trades down here live, as well as the Russell options. The Russell is a smaller index than the S&P 500. That encompasses like the next level of stocks, size of companies. That trade's down here live as well. I really encourage anybody that has ever wanted to, you know, see a trading floor to contact the SIBO or, quite frankly, contact me, and I'm happy to bring them down here. It really is, John. If you remember back in the movie Trading Places, with, you know, all-time classic with Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy, and they're on the trading floor, that is really what's going on down here.
Scott Bauer is the CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. You can take him up on that, prospertrading.com. Click on prospertrading.com. We'll talk more about the markets per se another day, but this has been a fun little trip. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you so much, Sean. Have a great day.
Liv Peterson joins us now on the Wintrust Business Lunch, an events producer with Overflow After Dark Productions. This is at Overflow Coffee in South Loop. Liv, you're on WGN. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I think that introduction tells us a little bit about the joint, coffee, but also event space, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And what do you do for them?
So the space is beautiful in itself. It's actually a historic space, which makes it so significant. It was the home of the former VJ Records and Brunswick Records. So in the 1950s through 70s, it was one of the biggest Black-owned record labels in the U.S., and actually the first U.S. label to sign the Beatles. Gene Chandler came to this space, Jerry Butler, Gladys Knight. So a lot of historic Chicago soul singers came through the space. And now the space is a Black-owned nonprofit, which owns the for-profit, the coffee shop. And we run all age-inclusive, cross-generational showcases, music showcases. So beautiful space. Everybody's welcome to come to a show. We have shows in the evenings, mostly focused on soul, jazz, R&B. We have poetry events, art galleries, and also by the day, just a great place to come grab a cup of coffee. So a lot of beautiful things happening in space and a rich legacy of history in the space as well.
1449 South Michigan Avenue. So we know where Michigan Avenue is. If I keep going south, like, give me the east-west on that. How far south are you at 1449 South?
So we're about a 10-minute walk from Roosevelt, where like the Roosevelt Red Line is. So if you keep walking right before you get to Motor Row, so Record Row, that whole strip right before you get to Cermak and Motor Row in that area.
Got it. And then you have an event coming up on Saturday the 29th, right?
Yeah, this upcoming Saturday, we are closing out celebrating Black Music Month in June with two incredible artists, soul artists Songbird and Jaleel. So they will be coming with two different bands, and we'll just have an intimate evening of music. We'll have zero-proof cocktails for all age-inclusive space. And we seat about 80 people, so a really intimate setting if you're looking to bring some friends out or come with a date and you just want to enjoy some great music, be able to meet the artists and have a great time.
So you described some of the things you all do there, poetry and maybe art, but it sounds mostly like a music venue, a place on the near south side for music. Is that right?
Yes. So we specifically have a lot of different musicians come through the space, and that's kind of our sweet spot is acoustic sets. And then we do have bands, 3 to 5 piece bands in the space as well. And what makes our space, again, unique is we're all age inclusive. So anybody from any age is welcome to come to the space since it's a coffee shop and enjoy a show. And we've actually been able to have some of the artists that were on the original record labels come back and perform and be in the space as well. So we've had artists all the way from 18 to 85 on the same bill.
And so tell me a little bit about Songbird and Jaleel. I don't know those names or those artists. What kind of music am I listening to when I listen to them?
So Songbird and Jaleel, they've performed all over the city in different venues. Songbird has performed at Lollapalooza, but really think soul, R&B. So they'll be performing classics as well as original music, and they have bands as well. So really great music that anybody can listen to, and nostalgic music as well. So a lot of our focus is on highlighting emerging soul artists and then giving homage to the soul artists that came through the building as well.
Yeah, I noticed that Songbird's described as a neo-soul singer-songwriter. So is that like jazz, or is that more like the blues?
Can you say that again? I missed what you're saying.
That's okay. I'm just wondering what that music sounds like, neo-soul. Is that more like mainstream jazz, or is that like soul? I wonder how that music relates.
So neo-soul is kind of, or sometimes called like progressive soul. So it's genre-bending soul that, you know, includes jazz, contemporary, gospel, R&B. Huh. So that's what neo-soul would be considered.
Saturday, June 29th from 6 to 9:30. Do folks buy tickets online in advance? Can you show up at the door?
You can. I would say because we are a small, intimate venue and we typically sell out, I always encourage pre-sales. So the best way is to head to overflowchicago.com/events, overflowchicago.com/events, and head to the Music to My Soul, a Black Music Month showcase. You can get tickets right on there via Event Noir, and you can purchase tickets there.
It sounds like an interesting venue, too, the home of the historic VJ and Brunswick Records. You mentioned that. It's not an actual house, though. It's a small building, I presume?
Yes, so it's a coffee shop. So the whole building is owned by Entrenuity, which is a nonprofit that focuses on Black, Brown, women-owned businesses and entrepreneurship. And so the upstairs space is a co-working space. And then downstairs is Overflow Coffee, where OAD Productions is housed, the creative arts, this small stage. And so by the day, it's a coffee shop. And then the evening, we have the shows. So you're welcome to come in anytime, grab a cup of coffee. You'll also see the original record wall when you walk in with the artists through Brunswick and VJ that have come through the space. It's a really cozy place with a lot of different, decor, very homey, and just a great place to get a cup of coffee, meet different artists, creatives, entrepreneurs, and get some work done.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm glad we discovered this place. Shame on me for not knowing more about it. You know, we've heard of Green Mill and some of the, you know, big names in jazz in town, but we should know about this one too. Liv Peterson is the events producer with Overflow After Dark, OAD Productions at Overflow Coffee. It's in the South Loop, 1449 South Michigan. Everything's at overflowchicago.com/events if you want to know the specifics. Nice to talk to you, Liv. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate being on.
You betcha. So look at this. I'm reading from Politico. A pair of federal judges Monday halted key parts of President Biden's new student loan repayment program. The two court rulings in response to lawsuits filed by Republican-led states. These court rulings prohibit the Education Department from moving ahead with major provisions of the president's Save Loan Repayment Program. This prevents the Biden administration from further reducing the monthly payments of millions of borrowers. What's happened here, Ray Kaplan? Ray is the attorney specializing in student loans. You can find her at Kaplan Law. Her website is financialrelief.com. Hey, Ray, welcome back.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
Okay, let's do it bit by bit. What was the SAVE program, or is the SAVE program?
Okay, so the SAVE program was a new payment plan that cut most people's payments in half. So it's a really good new payment plan recently rolled out by the Biden administration.
That was not prohibited by the Supreme Court previously. Remember, there was a very ambitious program to pay off student loans. While that was deemed inappropriate or unconstitutional, the president was able to institute this SAVE program. Is that right?
Right. So there's been so much going on with student loans, and there's been a lot of news stories about the different programs and debt relief programs and executive orders. And so I want to try to get rid of some of the confusion around all of this stuff today, because I think there's a lot of anxiety and stress about this. So people who are already enrolled in the SAVE plan, you've already had your payment reduced, you're safe. You're going to be in the SAVE plan for the foreseeable future. This really applies to the second part of the Biden administration's provisions under the SAVE plan, which were going to fast track relief and forgiveness for some borrowers and even further reduce your payments. So that stuff that hasn't been implemented, that is the stuff that is blocked right now. Everything else is okay for now.
So if I'm in and I'm saving money, they're not going to claw it back. They're not going to cancel that. Who are the people, what kind of loans or what sort of circumstances are people, at least for now, excluded from? Who are we talking about?
So we're basically talking about anybody who has federal loans and is eligible for the SAVE plan and who is going to be eligible in July potentially to get their loan payment reduced further or potentially get their loan forgiven. And that was basically people who had originally borrowed $12,000 and had been in repayment for 10 years or more. Those people were going to have potentially their loans forgiven in July under this kind of second leg of the SAVE plan. And that's what's on hold. So we probably won't know for a few more months whether or not that's going to be able to kick in.
But does that population,
eventually, I think.
Does that population describe the first group as well? And the only difference is they didn't get in under the wire. I mean, the first people are eligible for loan forgiveness, and that's going to stick. The second group, not because of these two court rulings, but is there really any difference between the two groups of people?
Well, yeah, because some people are going to get forgiveness under public service loan forgiveness, or, you know, there's lots of different ways to have your loans forgiven. So those people who might already be enrolled in the SAVE plan and are looking to get their loans forgiven under one of the different sections, those are all fine. It's just kind of a small category of people. I think maybe actually let me correct that. It might not be that small. It might be millions of borrowers, but we don't really have the numbers yet in terms of how many people were going to be eligible to have their loans forgiven in July under this new regulation. So that unfortunately is the only part that's on hold. I know that people are concerned about the SAVE plan going away. And if I could just kind of assuage people's fears, because I think the worst case scenario, even if that were to happen, they would probably go back to one of the other payment plans that SAVE replaced, which were still pretty good. So I don't want people to panic when they see these headlines, because it really won't be that bad.
I'm glad to hear you say that. We're talking about 8 million people, according to one story I have here. More than 8 million loan borrowers are enrolled in the SAVE plan, are enrolled, which the Biden administration launched last year, touting it as the most affordable option ever for federal student loan borrowers. The Education Department already invoked the loan forgiveness provisions of the plan to cancel $5.5 billion of debt for 414,000 borrowers with more scheduled. Ray, you frequently share with us the sort of loan forgiveness you're able to extract for some of your clients. Is that under these sorts of programs that we're talking about?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I mean, there is so much relief available out there. And right now, the big deadline, as you know, John, is June 30th. That's this debt relief program. It's the expiration date. So after June 30th, you won't be able to get the same type of forgiveness as has been rolled out under this IDR waiver. So what I would tell people is go to studentaid.gov. If you have federal loans, you may want to do a federal consolidation. If you're not sure, give us a call. We can certainly help you unravel it, because federal student loans are a complicated system. But this debt relief program is the largest debt relief program I've ever seen, and I don't think we'll see another one this large. And again, it expires June 30th. That's the deadline. Studentaid.gov if you're looking to see if you may qualify, because we've had clients get $300,000 in their loans forgiven. We had another lady, a 70-year-old grandmother, have $150,000 in loans forgiven. So it's just really life-changing results under this debt relief program.
And that IDR, that debt relief program that expires June 30th for enrollees, is different than the SAVE program that we've been talking about. Is that right?
Right. That IDR waiver is it's more based on the time in repayment, and the SAVE plan is a repayment plan that really greatly reduces your payment. It's a really great payment plan, and if you're eligible for it, I encourage people to sign up for it.
Should people contemplate signing up for both, or is that not a thing?
Yes, absolutely. If you go to studentaid.gov and you do a federal consolidation, then the second step would be to sign up for that SAVE payment plan. And again, if you're nervous about it or you need help kind of navigating the system, that's certainly what we're here for, because it can be a little intimidating and the process can be complicated. However, I will say that for some people who have already done a federal consolidation, their loans might be forgiven automatically without them even having to do anything. And we're really going to start to see a lot of that forgiveness rolling in between now and September.
Continue to send me the screen grabs with personal information blacked out, of course, of some of your clients, some of our listeners, many of our listeners who have seen tens and hundreds. Those are just amazing stories. And if all of this is a little confusing, that's why we asked Ray Kaplan to come on. You can find her at financialrelief.com, financialrelief.com, or call 312-294-8989. Okay, Ray, thanks for your help today.
Thanks, John. Anytime.
You bet. And no, I did not understand all of that. But that's not a reflection on Ray. She does a good job. Clearly, she knows it all. But it's just a lot to unravel, isn't it? Okay. Ray Kaplan's law firm is called the Kaplan Law Firm, financialrelief.com. More business news now. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Google has partnered with CME Group to build a cloud computing network that will help CME shift its futures and options trading into the cloud. The facility will be located in Aurora next to an existing CME data center. There had been concern the operation would move out of the Chicago area to perhaps Virginia or Ohio. Bloomberg reports the decision to keep the data center local came after market officials and trading firms opposed a move elsewhere. CME and Google began working together in 2021 to migrate data, clearing services, and eventually trading into the cloud. Google made a $1 billion equity investment in the derivatives exchange. Volkswagen will invest $5 billion as part of a joint venture with electric vehicle maker Rivian. Rivian builds EVs in downstate Normal. The VW investment will include $1 billion up front and then $1 billion in subsequent years. Details of the joint venture haven't been fully disclosed, but it's likely Volkswagen will benefit from Rivian's technology and expertise as VW develops its own EVs. The investment could also help Rivian expand. Rivian employs about 8,000 people at its Illinois factory. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And there is a restaurant where if you order ketchup on your hot dog,
we ring the bell and yell, "Blasphemy!"
Can I hear the bell?
Sure. Hold on, let me walk over and get it. You ready?
Yeah. Who she is and where her restaurant is, and here's a hint, it is not in Chicago. After I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today, there has never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox, and maybe you want to drive that Silverado to Portage, Michigan. That's where Andra Lee is one of thousands of Chicago transplants, and after spending most of her life in Chicago,
I really miss Chicago food.
So she opened a restaurant in Portage, which is south of Kalamazoo along I-94. It's called Michigander's Windy City Doghouse. Yeah, dog is spelled D-A-W-G.
It's a true, authentic taste of Chicago.
And she means authentic.
Chicago Vienna beef hot dog, Chicago Polish sausage. We do our own rub for the Italian beef.
And for Italian beef newbies, she offers instructions on the stance.
You know, take that stance, put your elbows up, lean over so that the gravy drips on the paper.
She says there are restaurants around who advertise that they serve Chicago-style food.
You know, they're saying, oh, we have Chicago hot dogs. And you walk in, you're like, oh my God, so you have Vienna beef hot dogs? And they're like, no, but they're beef. Then you're going, well, no, then they're not Chicago hot dogs. Mine are.
She says even her decor is is authentic Chicago, but not the sports memorabilia type that a lot of restaurants feature.
Instead, we decided to do movie posters.
Such as?
Obviously, the Blues Brothers, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, While You Were Sleeping, Untouchables, Some Like It Hot with Tony Curtis and Marilyn Monroe.
Andra Lee, who was working a corporate job for nearly 20 years.
And I quit my job to open up this place.
She opened in March, and how's it going?
I love it.
Michigander's Windy City Doghouse in Portage, Michigan, for transplants who get a little homesick for Chicago food. And to remember,
no ketchup on the hot dog.
On the food calendar, June Dairy Month continues, and today's National Chocolate Pudding Day and National Coconut Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Well, I think we all recall at least something about that class action lawsuit over the manner in which real estate agents disclose to buyers and sellers who gets paid and how. This all really goes into effect, as I understand it, in August. But the questions remain about, okay, then what's going to happen later this summer? Laura Ellis is the Chief Strategy Officer and Executive Vice President and President of Residential Sales at Baird & Warner. So, Laura, you need to know all about this stuff, don't you?
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. Yes, I do.
And is August 17th the date? I mean, these new rules or policies aren't in force yet, but they will be later this summer?
Yes, that's correct. August 17th, the new rules go into effect. One of them is that real estate brokers must have an agency agreement signed in writing with buyers before they take them out to tour any properties. The second rule is that there will be no more what we refer to as cooperative commissions offered in the multiple listing service. So what it really boils down to, John, is that agents are going to need to work with buyers in the same manner that they've worked with sellers over the years, which is before they go to work for them, they have to sit down, get that agreement signed, make sure that they indicate how they're going to be paid, and then they can go out and show them homes. In the past, it was just, you know, you want to see houses? Sure, let's go out and see them. Because people, it was commonly thought that the seller pays the buyer's agent's commission. Moving forward, it's going to be clear that the buyer is actually paying the commission to the buyer's agent, right, and the seller paying commission to the seller's agent.
Well, it's always been kind of roundabout, but I think that was, you're right, understood, and I believed that to be the case, that the sellers were paying the buyer's agent, but I guess the buyer ultimately was paying everybody. They're the ones that come to the table with the cash, right?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Could you easily argue that the buyer actually paid all the commissions?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the spirit of these new rules really are about transparency and the responsibilities and the compensation that the agents are obligated to provide and receive.
Well, Laura, do you anticipate that the buyers will come up with a plan with their agent? The buyers will come up with a plan for their agent about compensation. It'll be a flat fee. I mean, there'll be a better understanding about what the compensation will be for the buyer's agent going forward. There was the fear that somehow the buyers are going to get aced out here, the buyer's agents.
Yeah, that was a fear. All of the research that our industry is looking at and is being done across the board indicate that buyers really want representation. They want an advocate and a trusted advisor to help them with that largest purchase of their lifetime. And so they want to work with buyer's agents, and they don't think buyer's agents should work for them for free.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's clear. People want the representation. What is a little bit unclear is what that exactly is going to look like. Now, I can tell you in our firm, our agents have been, you know, we've encouraged them to work with buyer agency agreements. We've always believed in them for many, many years. We have many, many agents that are have been and continuing right now to work with the buyer agency agreements, and it's very successful. They're able to help the buyer also not have to come out of pocket for that commission. In other words, they're able to work it into the transaction, which can be argued it's always been part of the transaction, But today we're seeing, you know, especially first-time homebuyers who, you know, they've saved for a long time for their down payment and their closing costs, and they don't want to have to come out of pocket with an additional money to pay their agent. So what they're doing is they're structuring it inside of transactions where the buyer will ask the seller for a credit. Often, you know, buyers have asked sellers for credits for all kinds of things over the years, and this time they're asking them for a credit by which they can then compensate their agent.
Sure.
And it's working successfully, but, you know, everything changes as of August 17th, and so it's going to be interesting to watch the industry.
Well, then why don't you come on with us August 16th, and we'll have a longer version. I'm not kidding, of this conversation. Does that sound like a good idea?
I would love to.